Hello, this is John Belushi. This is Joliet Jake of the Blues Brothers.
Welcome once again to We in the Studio. I'm Redbeard. The phenomenon of the Blues Brothers had humble enough beginnings. The late-night, innovative NBC network comedy TV show Saturday Night Live was only in its second season when two of the regular cast members, John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd, adopted the nom de blues, Joliet Jake and Elwood Blues, the Blues Brothers. They would warm up the Saturday Night Live audience with the show's house band doing spirited jump blues and soul songs, which the two had worshipped when they were just starting out in Chicago as part of the Second City Comedy Workshop. The first time Belushi and Aykroyd actually performed as the Blues Brothers on the Saturday Night Live show broadcast, they had already donned their trademark dark sunglasses and fedora hats, but were actually wearing the bumblebee-striped costumes extending another famous skit. By 1978, Belushi and Aykroyd were mainstays on Saturday Night Live, the hottest show on television. As an indication, the Rolling Stones were the musical guests on the season opener. I'm serious. They leveraged their celebrity into opening an actual concert where they were able to record the performance with an all-star band of musicians, including Steve Cropper, Donald Duck Dunn, Matt Guitar Murphy, drummer Steve Jordan, sax player Tom Scott, and from the Saturday Night Live band, Paul Schaefer. The resultant album by the Blues Brothers, called Briefcase Full of Blues, may have been led by two comedians, but it was no joke at the checkout counter. Briefcase Full of Blues by the Blues Brothers sold 2 million copies on its way to becoming the number one selling album in America. Quickly, a musical comedy screenplay was developed, and the Blues Brothers movie attracted even more cameos, including Ray Charles, Aretha Franklin, and Cab Calloway, who more or less stole the show. The John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd team decided to do a Blues Brothers concert tour of major arenas in conjunction with the movie, which is where I talked to them by phone in Memphis in June 1979.
How does two actors, what do you consider yourself, really, John?
I guess kind of like Sammy Davis Jr. I consider myself an entertainer.
No, I don't think that's presumptuous, though, at all. Because
I'm probably just to be an entertainer. To be involved with show business today, you really have to do a lot of things. Like I did radio, National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Yeah, and you did it very well, I might add.
Thank you. And I was a director of that show for a while. Then I've been a director, an actor. You have to be able to sing. You have to be able to play instruments. You have to be able to dance. You have to be able to do all those things to be an entertainer today, I think. You really can't do one thing and be categorized into one thing and get anywhere. You got to keep moving around.
Well, that you do.
I could just consider myself an entertainer, someone who people go away from what I do feeling good, I hope.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, millions of people have been entertained over the past... how many years was it with Saturday Night Live?
I was on for 4 years.
4 years. And millions of people on a weekly basis were and have been and continue to be on reruns totally entertained.
And then there's Animal House.
And Animal House.
And the guy who directed Blues Brothers directed Animal House, too.
I hadn't noticed. The same fella. I noticed you used a Tischler.
Oh yeah.
Also, as producer of the soundtrack LP.
He's a great producer. He also produced National Lampoon Radio Hour.
Yes, he did. And didn't he also do Lemmings?
He did not do the Lemmings album.
Okay,
that's the only Lampoon album he did not do.
Okay,
wish he would have.
But Bob worked with the Lampoon people and the radio show, and obviously is coming into his own, or probably, I guess you'd feel, has arrived in his own as a bona fide, record producer of contemporary music.
Well, he's now producing a band called 3D.
That's what I heard, yeah, from the source, yeah.
Yeah, he's doing 3D, and they're pretty good. They did that song, All My Television.
Yeah.
And they're old friends of mine. I used to play with them. They really changed. They used to be like long hair, rock and roll group, turned into a punk. Real fast. Just cut the hair.
Yeah, that'll do it, too. We were talking earlier about what you consider yourself, an actor or a comedian.
Probably first an actor.
First an actor?
Sure. But, I mean, what I like doing most is making records. I enjoy making records more than anything else. It's you have more control over what you do. There's not as many people involved. You don't spend as much money, and you get more for your money because people can use their imagination, just like radio. I mean, when I was doing the National Lampoon Radio Hour, we didn't spend much money, but the money you use in production.
Guys,
hold down just a second. Danny, you want to talk to Memphis? Wait, you want to talk to my partner, Danny?
Absolutely.
Or Elmo?
Elmo, Elwood, Dan Aykroyd, whatever he's going by. Put him on.
Okay, hold on a second. But I mean, it just seems more creative. Hello.
Hello, is this Elwood?
This is Aykroyd, yes.
How you doing, Danny? This is Redbeard in Memphis, Tennessee.
How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. You sound fine.
Well, I just got up, and we're about to go through our physical regimen this morning.
Your physical regimen.
That's right. We're training.
I believe that. I know that rock and roll and live music has always put an incredible strain on people's body, and I know that acting, lots of actors, is, I think, some of the world's best athletes, so you guys do it all. You must have to stay in incredible shape.
It's very good. It is true.
Yeah. There is some truth in that.
Dan, the man who narrates the Rock Report from the source, he's been doing a series on this press conference that you held recently, and he keeps referring to you as Jake and Elmo.
Elmo, really?
Elmo. And so I guess he's going to have to...
It's an open thing, you know. If he wants to call me Elmo. See, Elmo is what I got on my right hand, tattooed on my right hand.
That's true. That's right. The other letters are on the other hand. That's right.
That's right. So, I mean, it's wide open.
Give you hope and be-
The Blues Brothers from Briefcase Full of Blues in 1978, covering Sam and Dave's Soul Man, written by Memphis Stax Records legends the late Isaac Hayes and David Porter. Blues Brothers Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi arrived in Memphis the day before their scheduled concert, and Belushi sat in the seat directly in front of me to watch The Who play in the same 10,000-seat Mid-South Coliseum in which the Blues Brothers would perform the next night. As the audience erupted in thunderous applause following The Who's opening song, I watched John Belushi's face as he looked up while turning in a full 360-degree circle, gazing up at the sold-out crowd and gasping, "Wow," in amazement, knowing full well that 24 hours later, he would be trying to follow one of rock's seminal bands with his comedic partner, Dan Aykroyd.
You know, the Blues Brothers, it's that kind of thing. What we're doing, basically, it's exploiting the humor that is inherent in this type of music. Now, I mean, you do a song like "Who's Making Love to Your Old Lady," is that not funny?
Absolutely.
You remember that tune?
Oh, sure, Johnny Taylor.
Johnny Taylor, sure. Well, this is what the Blues Brothers is all about. I mean, people say, you know, well, you guys, you take the music seriously. Yes, we do. The music is good. But there is humor inherent in all of this music here. And I think the people who wrote them, like, shake at your tail feathers, you know. These are funny songs, you know, and no other group of people, you know, is really interested in taking them on and doing them, you know, other than, like, Roxy Music doing Steve's hit In the Midnight Hour. Now they've done a serious, you know, heavy version of In the Midnight Hour, and that's great. But what we're trying to do is, you know, take some of the humorous elements that are inherent in this type of music and bring them out, and this is what we are. We're basically a visual act. John is not the strongest vocalist in the world. I'm not the best harp player. We got the best band backing us up. We're frontmen for this act, basically, you know.
Katie left me a mule to ride. The train pulled out, I swung on behind. Crazy about it, hard-headed woman of mine. Man, my baby long, great gosh almighty, my baby tall. She long, my baby she tall. These sleepers will help me catch her, and I'll beat you out in a hall. Crazy about her, the hard-headed woman of mine. Well, I love my baby, she's so fine. Wish she'd come and see me sometime. You believe on Saint, you look what shame on me.
John Belushi on vocal as Joliet Jake Blues, and Dan Aykroyd on harmonica as Elwood, doing She Caught the Katie and Left Me a Mule to Ride from the Blues Brothers movie soundtrack. Earlier that day, I'd been picked up for lunch in the Bluesmobile from the movie, honest to God, a 1974 Dodge Monaco with a big block motor and no air conditioning. In Memphis in June, no less. Mounted atop the black and white cruiser was an enormous gray metal air raid tornado warning siren speaker. The speaker itself was the size of a Hyundai. Trust me, no way you could forget where you parked this car. Here again, the Blues Brothers, the late John Belushi, and first, Dan Aykroyd.
You said it yourself. You got the best band in the world. I mean, for this style of music, how did you put together? How did these two actors, TV comedians, as it started out, I guess working up with Stanky Brown, how did you actually convince and win the respect and trust of the world's greatest R&B musicians to go out and make a movie, make a live album, and now a studio soundtrack? How did all this come about?
Well, I mean, basically, I guess they wanted to play the music again, and nobody was coming to them and saying, hey, we want to put together a review of this type of music. And it was that simple. Also, you know, they respected our work on Saturday night, and they also had a flavor, you know, a feeling for the flavor of what we were trying to do, which was the exploitation of the humor that is inherent in this R&B.
It's not necessarily the humor.
See, I disagree with you, John.
I know.
I think it's funny. I think some of it is funny, you know.
I think it's very funny, and I think it's very entertaining, but it's not necessarily making fun of
it. It's not making fun of it. It's taking the humor that's already there out. I mean, you have these 200-pound men in black and white suits dancing on the stage and singing songs like Riot and Cell Block 9, you know.
Entertaining.
You know, it's entertainment. That's what our business is. And I think, you know, we've done three shows now, and everybody in the audience, I think, has walked away feeling they got their money's worth.
Yeah, they've been going nuts.
You know, they really enjoy the show, and I think you know, our act moves, you know, on stage, maybe not as much as Kiss, because they got a lot of, you know, fire pots and all that stuff. But we don't have any special effects like that. Basically, it's you know, the characters of Jake and Elwood up there moving to the grooves of this tight band that, you know, is tuned up like a 48 Packard.
Boy, you can say that again. And a number of those cylinders in that tight 48 Packard,
yeah,
are born and bred Memphis boys.
I'll tell you, you're talking Steve Cropper, Duck Dunn, and Matt Murphy, and I think, you know, basically we got a Memphis rhythm section here, John, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Yeah.
once again Dan Aykroyd and the late John Belushi, the Blues Brothers.
See, and I think the original artists and writers who did this material know that you know, there's a little bit of its tongue-in-cheek. You know, although the music is solid and there's a beat and it's moving and emotional and all that, there's still, you know,
enjoyable American music.
Yeah, there's joy in it, you know.
It jumps.
It jumps. That's it. It jumps and swings. And we're not out there to, you know, to sing a ballad or something.
Or to rip people off or sing romantic songs.
Yeah.
We're not hopeless romantics.
Well, we do have a little bit of a political message in Green Onions. Elwood comes out and talks a little bit about, well, people will have to come. You'll just have to come and see it to know what I'm talking about. But we do have a little sort of an isolated expansionism kind of message.
We're looking forward to playing Memphis.
The music that is presented in the movie is just absolutely incredible. It goes over so well in the context of the film that there's been some speculation that does any of this talent, such as James Brown, or Ray Charles, or Aretha, are they, you think, ever going to meet up with you on the road somewhere for a live little bit of a reunion?
Well, you see, what we're doing now is we're out there testing the market to see whether people are going to come out and, you know, in this economic time, whether they're going to come out and see live acts. And possibly, if this works out well, this tour, we may put together like a full-blown old-time review, you know, where we go out with two or three of those artists and us, you know, and their bands or our band will back them up and you know, do try to bring back that feeling that the Stax Volt people had when they went to Europe, you know.
Show. We sincerely hope that you all do enjoy the show. And